Alexa, play Imagine Dragons.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get access to over 50 million songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Ed Boston Podcast today. It's our weekly podcast that we do on Saturday each week, and we are glad you are here with us. Today is October 14th, 2017, and we are so glad you're here. We got a few things to take a look at today and want to give some opinions, kind of want to combine some things and take a big overall look at the things that divide us as a country. We want to start off, though, with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we come to you just now, thanking for you for this day. We thank you for all the blessings that we have in this life, and we thank you for our great nation, the United States of America. We thank you for the blessings that we have had throughout our history. And we thank you, Father, for allowing us to be a godly nation. But Father, I pray for forgiveness for the times that we turn against you and do the things that we would rather do than the things that you would have us to do. Father, I pray that as our nation seems to have a bigger divide all the time, that you would heal our nation, heal our country, heal these divisions. And we pray this in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. We've got a song to play for you from Big Daddy Weave, a trailer for an upcoming movie, and then we'll be back. This is the Ed Boston Podcast.
Said I'm yours, the first time I called you Lord.
And
kinda caught my soul, which had me a little more open to close. Walls I built, opinions I learned, covered in the ashes of bridges I burned, blind to the arrow that was headed to my heart. But you hit the mark. When
Take one.
Over.
If I told you my story.
Same kind of difference as me. It's a story based on my wife Debbie and her friendship and my friendship with Denver Moore, a homeless man that she had a dream about who would change our city and our lives.
That's a man from that dream. That's him.
I play Ron Hall, who was a very successful art dealer.
Martin told me about your friend. If you don't tell Debbie, I will.
And his wife ended up giving him a second chance, and that was to involve him with this shelter that Debbie had her eye on.
Any infectious diseases floating around this place I should know about?
We try to infect them all with love.
She just truly believed kindness begets kindness.
Hey, Ronnie. Why don't you go bring him a plate?
Oh, no. He's a man of your dreams, not mine.
And her mission was to make a change within this community and see that they had a better standard of living.
You want to be my friend?
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm going to have to think about that.
For Debbie to see someone like Denver and see that all was not lost, you know, they had such a strong connection spiritually.
You're not a bad man. You have the strongest heart.
There's so many themes of healing, and it's about a relationship worth enough to make the effort to repair it. And by sharing this mission to help other people, they come together again.
Denver always said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody that can save anybody.
I think it's a story worth telling because it is about forgiveness, and I think it's a hopeful story.
Amazing, isn't it? How far a little tender love and care can go.
I think that it tells honestly the story of some people who got more out of something than they gave. They all were changed in different ways.
You know, if you want to see a world change, you have to be involved in that. And it takes love to do that. The only thing that will ultimately change a person is to love them and to not give up on them. And that's what I want the world to see.
As we get ready to start here in just a few minutes on the main topic of the day, and that being on what is causing division in our country, I wanted to just read a couple of things that I've posted on edboston.com this week. One was a complete article. The other one was just a brief statement. Both of them have to do with the topic at hand today. And so before we get into it, I want to go ahead and read these two, and then later we'll discuss how they fit in with the overall topic. First of all, I made a statement condemning hate groups. The statement says this: the front page exposure that hate groups have been receiving is very troubling. Many people want to loudly condemn the groups that they despise and then remain quiet about the ones that generate from their own side of the political aisle. We here at edboston.com condemn all hate groups, whether it be the white supremacists protesting in Charlottesville or any other place for that matter, or Antifa and their plans for a mass uprising starting November the 4th, hate groups serve no useful purpose. We fully support the First Amendment and the rights of all Americans to peacefully protest, but too many times the gatherings of hate groups do not fall into the category of peaceful, and that is just not acceptable. Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 and 44 says, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." As Christians, we need to pray for those who make up these hate groups. But we certainly shouldn't sit idly by and say nothing and pretend that all is well. Stand up and let the love of the Lord be heard. The hate groups have no problem making their beliefs publicly known. That was pretty concise and right to the point and exactly how I feel. The other one was a little longer, and again, it's written by me. And it expresses a feeling that may surprise some of you, and maybe it won't. The blog post title is NFL Taking a Knee, Boycotts, Mike Pence, and Ed's Thoughts on All of Them. So many thoughts in my head about the topics in the title. So let's just go over them one by one, and then I'll try to wrap things up at the end. The NFL. I've been a fan of professional football since I was a young boy. I've been a Colts fan since they were in Baltimore. As a fan of the NFL, I have been very disappointed with their response to the player protests that have been ongoing on the topic taking a knee. I'm all for peaceful protests when done appropriately. However, I don't believe that disrespecting the American flag, the national anthem, members of our military, and our first responders is appropriate. I know that the protesters and their supporters say that's not their intentions, but it's more than obvious that millions believe the protests are disrespectful. Boycotts. I'm not really a fan of boycotts and have only participated in just a handful in my life. That said, I did not boycott last year when the Taking a Knee protests began, but I have decided to not watch or support the NFL with my time or money. I have not watched 1 minute of football this season, and I don't see that changing anytime soon. The topic of Mike Pence. I'm a huge fan of the vice president. We share our hometown of Columbus, Indiana. We both went to high school in the same city, different schools, but still the same city. I had talked with Mike on numerous occasions, both in Washington, D.C. and here in Indiana. Now let's take a look at what happened in Indianapolis this past Sunday. My response to the events may surprise you. First of all, this was a huge day for the fans in Indianapolis. Peyton Manning had his statue unveiled, and Peyton, many of his former teammates, and Vice President Pence were on hand for the event. I hated not watching, but even with this very special day, I held true to my NFL boycott. The Colts were playing the San Francisco 49ers at Lucas Oil Stadium. At least 20 players for the 49ers decided that taking a knee during the national anthem was what they were going to do as a protest. According to the Indianapolis Star, all Colts players stood arm in arm during the playing of the Star Spangled Banner, just as they did last week ahead of the game in Seattle. In response to the 49er players taking a knee, the vice president and his wife Karen decided to leave the game before it even started. Pence sent out the following tweet shortly after leaving. "I left today's Colts game because President Trump and I will not dignify any event that disrespects our soldiers, our flag, or our national anthem." That was followed by a tweet from President Donald Trump. "I asked Vice President Pence to leave the stadium if any players kneeled, disrespecting our country. I am proud of him and Second Lady Karen." And then Pence further explained his reasoning on leaving. "At a time when so many Americans are inspiring our nation with their courage, resolve, and resilience, now more than ever, we should rally around our flag and everything that unites us," Pence tweeted. "While everyone is entitled to their own opinions, I don't think it's too much to ask NFL players to respect the flag and our national anthem. I stand with President Trump, I stand with our soldiers, and I will always stand for our flag and our national anthem." So there's the backdrop to everything. Now Ed's response to those events. "While it angers me as a veteran of the United States Army and a proud American for the NFL players to take a knee during the national anthem, and for the NFL not to take a stand against the players for disregarding the NFL policy regarding standing during the anthem, I believe that the vice president, but much more so the White House response, was done in an unbecoming manner. Had things been that Pence had left on his own convictions, I would have totally been in support of his response. I believe that just as the players have their right to protest, as much as I hate it, the vice president and his wife were more than justified in their response, even though they probably knew that someone would take a knee before they even arrived. However, when you read the tweet from Trump, then things make a different meaning to me altogether. It upsets me that my man Mike seems to have been used as a pawn when Trump says he asked the vice president to leave if any players kneeled. I've read that Mike had scheduled the Colts visit a while back, and I fully believe that. He is a huge Colts fan, and the Manning statue unveiling was a big, big deal for most Colts fans. That said, I believe the president used this opportunity to support his stance on the NFL and protests, which I totally support, just not in this manner. In conclusion, I still love Vice President Pence totally. My gripe is that President Trump politicized this event the same as the players politicized their protest at the expense of those who take offense to the manner of how they protest. I never feel that stooping to the level of those I disagree with is to do the right thing. All right. Well, it's time to welcome in Amy with us today. Welcome here, hon.
Thank you.
And so I read the two statements and want to continue on from there with the major topic, and that be what is dividing our country. I want to take a look at some specifics that I believe are causing division. And when I say these things, I don't necessarily mean that they are wrong, even though many of them are, but I just want to look at things that I believe stand behind some of the things that cause division. First one would be politicians. That's not a hard one to come up with. And in times past, I believe that politicians could go to work, disagree about things, be passionate about things, and realize that that was their job. Today is not the case. It seems to me that Republicans hate Democrats. Democrats hate Republicans. Independents might hate both of them. And so I believe that a huge, huge, huge portion of what happens in the divisive parts of our country has a political backdrop to it. Wouldn't you say?
That's for sure.
The next thing is hate groups.
And, oh, yeah.
And they come in all sizes, shapes, forms, colors. It doesn't really matter. There's hate groups everywhere. Now, there are some hate groups that get a little more attention than others. And, of course, we have on one side the white supremacists. We have on the opposite side Antifa, anti-fascists, Antifa. And both of those are opposing fringes of the spectrum. And as I mentioned in the statement on hate groups, that there's no place for hate groups in our country. There's no excuses. There's no well buts. There's nothing that justifies what goes on in the hate group arena. There's the NFL protesters and the boycotters. This is one where I said that maybe there's no wrongs or rights. I believe that there's a wrong and a right here, but both sides of this issue believes that their part is right, is where I'm getting at there. The protesters have what it is that they use as their protest. The boycotters are upset, not that the protesters are protesting, but when they are protesting, that being during the national anthem and the presenting of the American flag.
I understand both sides. I stand with the boycotters in that if the NFL protesters would use another period of time to make their protests, then I would be okay with them protesting, just not during the playing of the national anthem and the presenting of the colors of the United States of America. It's just neither the time nor the place. But certainly, 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 that is causing massive amount of division in the country. Here is another thing. Christians versus non-Christians. That's causing division in our country? I certainly believe it is, and I can give you at least three reasons that I think that is the case. And again, this would be a case of people being on different sides and having their own separate reasons. And of course, I believe that one of these is the right way of thinking and the other way is not. Reason number one on Christians versus non-Christians is the straight versus gay agenda. Huge division in our country over this. And I've talked with people recently that we agree that things have gotten?
That's a new word.
Gotten? Have gotten to the point.
You're from Boston.
Yeah, Boston? I'm from Boston. My last name is Boston. And I've gotten? I don't think I sound very good with an accent.
No.
Things have gotten out of hand and so far away from where things used to be. Now, I don't think that we should have to go back to where people that are practicing homosexuals have to fear for their lives and be in the closet and those kind of things. I just think that too many people want to push the gay and homosexual agenda at the expense of other people. If they want to live their lives that way, you know, they have every right to live their life that way. We can be wrong and have the right to be wrong. But they don't need to push an agenda on other people that affects them in their everyday life. Point to make is the Christian baker.
Right.
If, and there's a Supreme Court case on that coming up. If a Christian baker chooses not to make a cake for a gay wedding, why should the gay couple force their beliefs on him to perform a service that he doesn't believe in?
Well, first off, why would you want to? If that baker doesn't feel comfortable or doesn't want to do it, why would that gay couple expect them to? Or want them to if they don't want to do it?
I never have understood that. I would want to spend my money on somebody that wants my business.
Mm-hmm.
And so I totally agree
with
that. So there is one Christian versus non-Christian division. The next one would be abortion. Not going to get deep into the topic of abortion. We know what we believe. We know what the pro-abortion, pro-death, whatever you want to call them, side of the equation is. But it's a big division. And
it's a
division even amongst people of the Christian belief many times. It certainly is on Christians versus non-Christians, but many times within the church itself. And I seen somebody talking on Facebook in a comment, and I don't even remember what the comment was about. It was a man that made the comment and said that the government needs to stay out of any business that has to do with a woman and her body.
Oh, man.
Now, I know I could get you going on that.
Oh, boy.
And we don't have time today for you to preach, babe.
Oh, my.
We got somewhere we got to be after a while, and you could probably preach an hour long on that topic,
yes,
I know.
Yes, we could.
But We're just talking about the division. Morality versus immorality. And we can talk about this again for
hours.
But just look at what's on your television versus what was on your television 25 years ago. We have seen old television, as in Andy Griffith old, as in MASH old, as in Gomer Pyle old, as in Hogan's Heroes old. And there were some things that was said back in the old channels, old shows, that would never be allowed to be said.
Right. Boy.
But I've really...
You're having trouble talking.
I am. Would never be allowed to be said on today's programming.
Right.
And it, understandably, that we live in a different situation. But let's look at the opposite side. There are things all over our television today that would have never made it on the television when we were kids. Provocative dress.
No dress.
Lack thereof. There was... You can turn on TV any night of the week and see... Men and women, well, no, not just men and women. In today's society, one person imitating having sex with another person with little to no clothing on. And I mean, what used to be R-rated movies is now normal for prime time.
Right.
And worse. Seriously, worse. It's... what was morally correct versus morally bankrupt, the division and the growth in between has just gotten bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And what's acceptable now, oh my goodness, your grandfather, my grandfather would roll over in their graves seeing what goes on today.
Absolutely.
I mean, even things as simple as protesters taking a knee during the national anthem.
Right.
When we were growing up, I mean, there was the Black Power movement. There was the peace and hippies. That's when some of the stuff started. Because I remember burning flags. And by the way, you showed me the other day, and it made me remember about a time where a couple hippies jumped onto a baseball field and went to the to burn a United States flag.
Right.
And Rick Monday was an outfielder then for, I believe, the Los Angeles Dodgers. And it's a famous clip of a baseball incident. And he went running to where they were trying to light that flag, snatched the flag out of their hands, and then it doesn't show anymore because I believe the two protesters were tackled flat by security and taken off the field.
That's what should happen every time that happens.
Well, today if that were to happen and they were to get tackled, they would sue the security guards, the both teams involved, the stadium, the owners, and the city.
And win, unfortunately.
So, morality and immorality divides our nation. And then we get closer to where I believe the problem lies. We've got God versus Satan. We've got good versus evil. Right versus wrong. Doing the right thing. And there's where the division comes in our country.
Amen.
You know, we've been doing a Bible study, Amy, that on Wednesday nights that talk about spiritual warfare. And when I say we've been doing on Wednesday nights, not here on the podcast, but at our local congregation, and it's been a tremendous experience and a tremendous learning experience. But the division in our country is part of the spiritual warfare that's taking place.
Absolutely.
There's no doubt in my mind. Now, one of the things that comes to mind with what the Bible says about spiritual warfare, and we've gone through this in our Bible study, is there are two primary errors when it comes to spiritual warfare. One being the overemphasis of spiritual warfare, and two, the underemphasis of spiritual warfare. You know, some people blame everything and every sin, every conflict, every problem that there is on demons, and they need to be cast out. And as we discussed at our Bible study this past week, that's just not always the case. People make bad decisions on their own free will. Now, Satan may have affected their way of thinking, but to blame Satan on what I would refer to as stinking thinking just isn't what needs to be done. You know, I preached a sermon a long while back called "The Devil Made Me Do It." And the devil does make you do a lot of things and influences the way we live so much. But let's look at the other side and the underemphasis. When a tragedy like Las Vegas takes place, does Satan get the blame?
Sometimes, yeah. I mean,
I'm not leading you the right direction here. What's usually the first thing that gets the blame when a major tragedy, shooting thing takes place?
The person.
I'm just failing in this miserably.
Oh, usually a gun will get a blame, and that's not always the case.
Well,
let's blame the gun.
The gun is never the cause, unless it happens to be that a gun accidentally went off on its own by itself. Does that ever happen?
A gun cannot accidentally go off and kill 59 people.
That's right. A gun is probably not even going to accidentally go off sitting on a table nobody touching it.
My gun's never accidentally gone off and killed anybody. Never accidentally gone off, period.
Okay. Boy, I got to get better on my leading questions here.
Evidently. Or I'm real dense or something slow today.
I don't know. With the way that I mispronounced words and spoke in Bostonese and different things, maybe I just need to...
Well, I don't think that mindset that...
That we ought to blame guns first?
Blame the gun first. I don't think liberal pukeism...
Well, and so my point, to try to get back to where I was going, is that we blame guns, we blame mental illness, we blame society, we blame bad parenting, we blame tons of things before we would blame Satan being involved. And we had an interesting discussion in Bible study on the very topic of spiritual warfare being overemphasized or underemphasized. And somebody actually said that we maybe shouldn't just put evil on the incident in Las Vegas. And I think we finally, by the time we left, convinced the person that we understood what he meant, but he certainly gave a terrible example of that. Because when you kill 59 people, 59 innocent people in this case, but 59 people in any case, there's got to be evil involved. And so spiritual warfare is there in things that go on all the time. I think there's spiritual warfare that goes on every day amongst Christians and non-Christians.
Absolutely.
I think there is spiritual warfare leading hate groups. Because I am sure, and I never want to do this, I would if I was put in a position to be able to help something, but I really wouldn't like to be in a position to sit down with a hate group. Like I said, I would if I thought it would help something. But I would guess that if you were in a room with 10 people that belong to a hate group, they would be passionate about what they believe. And they've been obviously deceived some way, somehow.
They're very brainwashed, very brainwashed. I used to be the gang task coordinator for the, at the prison, security threat group coordinators. And they're very, very brainwashed into believing what they believe. And the hate in them is ridiculous.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, and I'm scrolling here on my notes, and the scripture that I come up, I've got 30 or 31 different scriptures that go along with spiritual warfare, and the one that I had just scrolled by says, be self-controlled and alert, which is the opposite of what you just said.
Yep.
Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in faith. 1 Peter 5:8-9. Spiritual warfare. One of the very first verses that you think about comes from the book of James 4:7. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You know, we have a choice on whether we go down the right road or we go down the wrong road. And all of those things that divide our country, we have a choice to make. Now, I'm not saying that every problem is Christian versus non-Christian, the right way, the wrong way, even though pretty much most things go along the lines of right way and wrong way. There are times where multiple opinions can be right. I'm going to sound, most of the time it's cut and dry, right and wrong.
Right.
And so here's what we need to do. James 4:7, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If you continue to resist the devil after submitting yourselves to God, the devil will flee because he cannot coexist with God, because God always wins.
Right.
So if you keep yourself close to God and continue to resist the devil is going to flee. But I'm going to tell you, he is going to work his hardest to check that anytime you don't submit yourself to God, well, he's going to be right there to sneak his way in. 1 John 4:4, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And again, we are right there at what causes division. Those who have God in them and those who are of the world. We may be onto something. What's causing the division in our country? You think we might be onto something?
I think we may be onto something.
Let's look at something else. What are the keys to success in spiritual warfare? We rely on God's power, not our own. We put on the whole armor of God, and there's a whole lesson right there. And if you don't know what the whole armor of God is, I'm going to encourage you to go to edboston.com, hit the contact page, send me a note there, and I promise that we will talk to you about the whole armor of God. We draw on the power of Scripture. The Word of God is the Spirit's sword. We pray in perseverance and holiness, making our appeal to God. We stand firm. We submit to God. We resist the devil's work and know that the Lord of hosts is our protector. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be forsaken. There's always going to be division in the world. There is no utopia. There is no perfect place. The Garden of Eden was at one time, but since the first sin, there's been no perfect place here on earth. And so I'm not talking about living in utopia or the Garden of Eden. I'm talking about living here in the United States of America in 2017, that things could be so much better. I think back to when we were early teens and teenagers. And if we put the mindset of people from that point in time where it is today, how much different it would be. I'm not saying that the 70s was the golden era of the world, because there was a lot wrong with the world in the 70s. Vietnam was getting ready to finish up. The drug situation was going to ramp up in a hurry. We just come through the 60s, and we know what kind of morality took place there. But I'm just saying that in general, we went from where we were then to where we are now, I guess my point is we've got to get back to God. You know, whether we're talking about the 70s or the 50s or the 1800s, when America was founded in 1776 or whenever, whatever point of history we look at, any of it is going to be better with God in the equation. And so we can't go back and change history, even though some people like to, with, you know, tearing down monuments and things like that. We can't change history, but we can change today. We actually can't even change tomorrow, because we don't know if tomorrow is going to get here. But we can change today. And the way we change today is to bring God into the equation, and not just talk about it, but do something about it. We'll be back. This is the Ed Boston Podcast.
I want to walk with you, Jesus. Feel your presence and know you're near. I want to see you, Jesus. Move in power and cast out fear. I need to hear you now. I need to know it's you. I'm standing on your promises. I know your word is true. You're bigger than what I see. It's you in exchange for me. 'Cause even the impossible can be reality. Jesus, I believe. Jesus, I believe. I want to say what you're saying, speaking life to what is dead. And I want to cling to you, Jesus, who hanging on your every breath. I need to hear you now. I need to know it's you. I'm standing on your promises. I know your words are true. You're bigger than what I see. And it's you in exchange for me. It's even the impossible is your reality. Jesus, I believe. Jesus, I believe. So let your kingdom come. I know your word is true. You're bigger than what I see. It's you in exchange for me. 'Cause even the impossible is your reality. I need to hear you now. I need to know it's you. I'm standing on your promises. I know your words are true. It's you in exchange for me. 'Cause even the impossible is your reality. God, even the impossible is your reality. Jesus, I believe. Help my unbelief, God. Jesus, I believe.
I had another dream last night.
Was it a good one, or was it about me?
It was about a poor wise man who changes the city.
Debbie, I got a sales call at the office. You got to drop off contracts north of town.
No, you don't.
We don't share the same life. We don't share anything.
You can leave. You choose. What about him?
He can be dangerous.
Hi. What's your name?
You don't need to know my name.
Well, I'd like to know your name. We have to talk to him.
I don't understand what's going on here.
That's a man from my dream.
You'd be doing me a big favor to just be nicer.
You want to be my friend?
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm going to have to think about that.
You're befriending some homeless man.
You lost your mind. They're looking for handouts instead of using their hands for work.
I, along with most of the other members, have a problem with you bringing your buddy.
You can tell that yourself. You stand right there.
Very sexy what you did today. How was it?
Actually, it was kind of amazing.
When you give a homeless man a plate of food, all you're doing is saying, I see you.
Amazing how far a little 10 or 11 care can go.
Our lives together would never be this beautiful.
Denver changed everything.
This is my story. This is my song.
I worried I was so different from all the people. But what I found out was everybody's different. Same gone different as me.
This is my story. This is my song.
Well, that's going to do it for the Ed Boston podcast this week. We are so glad that you were able to be with us. Hopefully you got something out of today's show, and we will continue looking at current events, things that pertain to our Christian walk in the world today. We have to be in the world, but we don't have to be of the world. God bless you. Go out and do the right thing. And I think I'm going to put in here at the end something that I've been working on, debating on whether just to use it on sermon night or whatever. But I think I'm going to put it in here and see how it fits. So take a listen and go out and do the right thing. God bless. Hi, friend. This part of the program is designed specifically for you as an individual. Me, Pastor Ed Boston, talking with you one-on-one here as part of our podcast. The purpose of this segment is to give you the understanding and opportunity to give your life to Jesus Christ, the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. We want to encourage you to ask for God's will in your life, and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it is God's will for you to give your life to Jesus Christ. Jesus died a harsh and cruel death on a cross as a sacrifice for our sins. In earthly ways of thinking, that is difficult to understand. But understand that God's Word tells us that He loves us so much that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever would believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Please know that God loves you, and insert your name right there. He knows you. He knows all about you. He knows your name. He knew you before you were even born. He knew you when He sent Jesus to die on the cross over 2,000 years ago. If you want to give your life to the Lord right now, I encourage you to repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins, and I invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name,
Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer just now, I want to encourage you to do a few things. I want to encourage you to be active in reading your Bible. I want to encourage you to go to the Lord in prayer. And if you don't understand how to pray, just talk to God like you would talk to your father or your mother or your spouse or whoever you have a conversation with. Just have a conversation with God. I also encourage you to get with somebody in your local area that is a Bible-believing person who would help you with the next steps that need to be taken. And as part of your conversion to a Christian, that would be being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. To become active in a local congregation where you can be a part of a family, a local family, the family of God. The Bible tells us not to forsake assembling together with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and that can be a major part of what you do as a Christian. If you have questions and don't have anyone to talk with, you can reach me by going to edboston.com, and there is a contact page there. Contact me, and I will do what I can to help you. I will do what I can to help you find a local congregation right there where you live, and I will certainly pray for you. Thank you for being a part of our podcast. We pray that you have taken this step and given your life to the Lord, and we know that you will never have to regret making this decision. God bless, and go out and do the right thing.
And the pitch.
We deliver baseball caps, mitts, and everything you need for the game. But what you really get is so much more.
FedEx delivery.
Game day spirit. What we deliver by delivering.